Love.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Oh, I just drove in tonight from Monterey.
Oh, my God, you drove. You didn't fly.
No.
Woo.
No.
Lord.
No. Yeah. Got, was at the Pebble Beach show. Hey, was it Dr. Drew, board certified physician? Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. All right. Yeah. Oh, Pebble Beach.
Pebble Beach. Nice,
You know, for those of you who are listening from around the country, California's got some good spots, got some bad spots. Pebble Beach and the Carmel Valley and that area, it's spectacular. That coastline, spectacular.
Why did we set up this city here and not there? That's an amazing thing.
I don't know. It had to do with a port.
Yeah.
That's it's about as good as I can tell. I think it was the railroad, the port, and the Lakers. I'm pretty sure the Lakers were here when we got here. I'm pretty sure.
Like, I think with the Rams, like the Rams yes, got set
the,
up. That
the Rams had come a little bit later, yeah, yeah. But when the earliest settlers came here and they went through the like Donner Pass and they came here, it was, I don't know, it's been like 1821 or something. There were five huge black men just standing there.
They thought about establishing a new religion or a professional basketball team.
They said,
"I'll do basketball."
We've been playing on this godforsaken earth. Please put some hardwood down for us and put a roof over it and call it the form.
Yeah.
And then Chick Hearn showed up.
Yeah.
And he was already old.
Oh.
And he already had a comb over. And he was already set a record for consecutive games.
Wow.
Yeah.
Already.
Yeah. Yeah. Pebble Beach, Monterey. Oh, my God. You know, all I did is drive around Monterey. Monterey is just picturesque, rugged coastline, Pacific Ocean, all that stuff. Big oak trees everywhere. And all I did was drive around and pass schools. They're schools. They see.
Colleges? Schools?
No, schools. Regular schools. Yeah, junior highs and high schools.
Because
when you have a community and there's a few thousand people living in it, maybe, I don't know, 80,000 people or however many live there, you got to have four or five high schools. And I would just drive around, you know, in this incredible real estate and go, hey, look at that.
Yeah.
And it'd be, that's a high school.
Yeah.
And it'd be like, yeah. Could you imagine going to high school there?
Yeah.
In a way, I think you'd be too sane.
Well, in fact,
it would screw you up somehow.
I always satisfy myself by thinking, hey, who of any significance ever came from schools like this? You got to have the hard knocks or to sort of motivate.
Oh, yeah. No,
these
are just happy, adjusted people who are sliding under your radar, Drew. They're not Madonnas and all the other nutballs that are acting out because they had such a horrible childhood and they grew up in Detroit. They're just, they grow up healthy, they start families, and then they have healthy kids. But, man, the concourse, the biggest car show in the world, really. And I shouldn't call it a car show, but event.
It's not a car show.
It is a car show, but it's not fair to call it. It's, you know, the grandfather of all these car shows. I mean, there's millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars worth of cars at these things.
Wow.
I mean, there's Ferraris that are worth 13, 15 million bucks, and there's one after the other, and you haven't even seen these ones before. Models you haven't seen. Crazy. Oh, Rolls Royces and Bentleys. I mean, just when you go tour the grounds, there's $100 million worth of cars there.
Wow.
It is crazy. And, you know, a lot of people get into collecting stuff. Then, oh, well, what car's worth $10 million? Well, what stamp's worth it? What baseball's worth it? What piece of canvas with some oil paint spread on it's worth it? At least when you go look at one of these Bentleys or Rolls Royces or Lincolns from the 20s or Duesenberg or something, your jaw hangs open.
Yeah.
I mean, the workmanship, the craftsmanship, the machinery, incredible stuff. I mean, you just stare at it. Even if it's a car you don't, you know, I don't like Duesenbergs, but I'm just staring at this Duesenberg going, oh, this is the most magnificent thing made of metal I've ever seen. It's spectacular.
Those big exhaust tubes coming off the side.
They had the flex exhaust pipes, the superchargers and stuff. And then it's just filthy rich people, just white rich people getting
drunk. You must have felt right at home with all the other literally rich people.
Literally a millionaire myself, but these guys are taking $12 million Ferraris and putting them on the track and going hard and cracking them up.
Just
and trying. You listening to this, Drew?
By the way,
if you had something that was worth more than $8, it would be hermetically sealed, buried in your backyard, and you'd have some flunky standing over it with a flashlight.
Yes.
Yes. These are $12, $13 million cars. Guys getting out there, driving them hard, trading paint, pounding them. Guy totaled a Ferrari GTO, the $13 million car.
But they
drive them.
But what happened to
them? They're meant to be driven. That's the announcement the guys make. Yeah. No, they go out and race at the Laguna Seca.
Crazy.
Oh, what a weekend. If you like cars, don't go there, actually, because it's getting a little crowded. All right, but anyway, filthy rich people. And let me say something else, too, contrary to what my parents tried to ram up my tukai growing up. Rich people, not inherently mean. They're actually can be nice. They got a lot of extra stuff, so don't get weird.
What do they got to be mean about?
Let me tell you something. Poor people, the guys that freak on you. Hey, turn on the TV, see the guy who got stabbed because he borrowed a guy's ratchet set and didn't return it. That ain't rich guy stuff. That's poor guy stuff because the ratchet set, even though it's only worth $86, is one quarter of the guy's gross income year.
When you're under stress, you're more apt to be aggressive.
And when you don't have anything, it's a big deal.
And you're acting out. Yeah, you're angry.
I'm just saying, you go go by some flunky's place, try to get a beer and a cigarette from him. He's going to tell you to F off. Go ask a rich guy for a beer. Hey, here you go. Take six back. What's he care? Cost a penny a beer for him. That's saying, lots of guys sitting around toasting and, come on up. Sit on down. Crack something. I was drunk the entire weekend, Drew. I'm not ashamed to say it. All right, you ready to rock? Were you going to say something?
No. Of course not.
No, you had something to say, but I cut you off.
Well, I was going to say how I saw Chris physically recoil. I think it's about an ass full of your literally millionaire comments. He looked physically uncomfortable.
Yeah, literally.
I'm fine. That's great.
You're all right? Yeah. All right. $10 an hour.
He reacted.
How many hours would he have to work at $10 an hour to be literally a millionaire?
A million.
Roughly. Oh, yeah. Okay. By the time taxes are paid.
That's at junior college coming through.
Maybe 2 million.
Tony?
Yeah.
You're 17?
Yeah.
You're a chick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Tony, here we go.
Here we go now.
Tony?
She hang up?
There we go.
All right,
okay.
Here we go. Let's get started now. Let's break it down. Let's get a hand in. Here we go.
I guess not.
You want me to ask?
All right, is her phone bad?
Oh,
is that what's going
on? Chris?
Daisy?
Yeah.
You're 15?
Yeah.
Here we go. What's your question?
Well, yeah, I've lost, like, about 30, 20 pounds lately.
30, 20.
30, yeah. 20, all right.
Yeah, and, well, my boobs have been, you know, they look saggy.
Mm. What do you weigh now?
Huh?
What did you weigh go from to?
I weigh, like, about 180. Now I weigh, like, 144.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Well, there are procedures that can be done much, much later if you need it. But I think this will sort
15.
Of take care of itself. You're a little young right now. Things will sort of move around a bit. Get exercising. Get your tone up. Keep the diet healthy.
Let's go. Let's break it down.
Yeah, break it down.
Let's go. Stop blaming your parents. Let's go. Let's get to work now.
That's good, Daisy.
You've
been able to lose the
weight.
That's excellent. Just keep it up. The sagginess don't worry about right now. Things may take care of themselves. And if not, and you're 18 to 20 and you want to do something, there are things that can be done.
How did you lose the weight?
Oh, I started, like, eating better and exercising my ass off.
All right. Literally. All right, Daisy. Yeah. Good times there, baby.
All right.
Yeah, literally exercised her ass off.
That's right. She didn't start smoking. She didn't do any speed. She didn't start vomiting. She just ate a little better, did some exercise.
There you go.
Oh, my God. That I eat like a free food everywhere.
Really?
Went like a madman.
Wow.
I got that same thing with you. Yeah. You got that thing where you got
free food.
You
saw me eat on
food.
Thursday. I was hungry.
Yeah, it was just free food.
Yeah.
You go sick.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah.
You get that weird thing.
You got it worse. You actually have it worse than I do. I just got hungry.
You're a man of passion.
Yeah, man.
You're
a
passionate man.
Yeah.
Exquisitely
it's not
passionate.
Just, you get that with food plus the free thing.
Yeah, I cannot pass free food and not get in on it.
Yeah.
Because it's free.
Yeah.
It's not going to be out here again.
Yeah.
Got to get in. You got to make hay while the sun shines, Drew. Are we talking to Tony again?
Let's try. Tony?
Yeah.
There we go.
Okay, there's a rumor going around that if you're on the dip of bear shot, that your vagina hole is tighter
because this one girl at my school is known by the guys. And she said since she's been with her boyfriend and on the shot, she's been tighter.
Hmm. Well, she's known that the vagina hole.
Wonder how Tony's brain lump did with her vagina hole. I mean, she must have been listening to somebody.
Yeah.
Hey, all right.
Oh, Tony.
The vagina hole. No.
No, yeah. It makes it drier. And so
seems
it,
tighter.
Yeah, so it may seem tighter, but it does not change things significantly. I guess there could be a decrease in suppleness also, because when estrogen is deficient and progesterone is up, but for the most part, it's not going to make any difference. And for that matter, stop thinking about those kinds of things. They don't mean anything to any guy on earth.
Yeah. Hey, Tony?
Yeah.
Except...
All right. I heard that line.
Yeah, phone's not good.
All right. Dad's smoking pot, began smoking pot. All right, so once we get into the business. Matt?
Hello.
What's happening, Matt?
I need a break, Adam.
You need what?
I need a break. I'm an aspiring comedy writer, and mm-hmm. I can't get anyone to give me a break. Mm-hmm. I'm working my ass off here, trying to get somebody to read my stuff, trying to get somebody to produce my stuff, trying to get an agent to sell my stuff, and nothing's happening. Mm-hmm. And I want you to give me a break like Jimmy gave you a break.
Mm-hmm. Okay. First off, Jimmy was just doing the local sports.
He
wasn't a big star like I am. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I didn't mean to laugh at that. But.
And then secondly, Jimmy liked me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But,
so you don't like Matt is what you're saying?
Well, I'm not saying I wouldn't if I got to know him, but right. I'm not, so I don't.
Right.
Now, what kind of comedy do you write, man?
I don't know. I work with this other guy. His name's Hollis, and we've been writing a lot of like sitcom proposals and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. We've also done a couple mm-hmm. movies, like screenplays.
All right. Well, give me a pitch, and then I'm going to give you guys my pitch. Go ahead.
You want a pitch?
He doesn't want a pitch.
All right. Hold on a second. I'm going to let him get her. Meanwhile, I'm going to pitch my new action movie.
God.
Came up with it when I was drunk on Pebble Beach today.
All right, let's hear it.
I was
remember Coffee and Donuts.
Oh,
remember that one? That was a good movie.
That's a good action. That's a good action movie. Yeah, Coffee is Charles Coffee III. He's very uptight. He's a cop, but he goes by the book.
That's right.
And
white shirt, thin striped
tie.
That's
Charles Coffee III. And then there's Donuts. That's Gianni Donetti.
Fat.
Guess whose rules he plays by?
His own rules.
That's right.
Oh.
That's right. Plays by his own rules. And, you know, they go out, and, you know, the other guy tells him, you know, he eats a corn dog, and the other guy has to tell him what's in it, you know, because it's kind of health food.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, they're on stakeout.
Yeah. And yet Donetti always kind of Starsky and Hutch-like.
Turns out to be a decent guy.
Not just decent guy, but always pulls, by being an a-hole, pulls things out in an important way.
Yeah. But I'll tell you, they're real unlikely pair.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Oh, shocking! Yeah. Wow, right. what a crazy brand new twist on the
That's the coffee and donuts. Yeah, but the idea I came up with today.
Yeah,
like I said, true.
As you're driving home from Monterey,
do you want one of those hollowed out wooden fish to drag a pencil across? You can just sit still for a second, just to start thumping stuff. Mm-hmm. You need something to play.
Mm-hmm.
You need an instrument. You know what you need, Drew? You need some
trombone.
You need some adult version of those toddler games where they take wind the thing mm-hmm. and they put the little square and the square and the round and the peg.
You'd allow me, listen. Look. Here, give me the pen.
Just relax.
If you would allow, look, I do that. I do it. If
you
I
can
start,
do that. You
I start
can,
doing
no,
it.
You start.
This is your reaction
no,
to
you
it.
You start. You should, no, Drew. You get a hold of a pen and you start going.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
well,
like we're trapped in a vault and you're trying to give some Morse code or something. Mm-hmm. And by the way, how's that Morse code work? You ever watch those movies like this? Like, he's in a vault.
With like, none of those SOS.
Go get help.
SOS.
Yeah.
Long, long, long. Short, short, short.
Yeah,
long,
but no, long, long. But these guys communicate. They have a whole conversation.
Alphabets, yeah. But it's an alphabet.
I know it's an alphabet, but you do it like in the movies. The guy's like, okay. He's in a vault. There's only 20 minutes of air left. The CO2 levels are dangerously high. He needs you to get help.
Tell his wife he loves him.
Okay, wait a minute. There's an addendum. He says that in the drawer of his desk that there's a key. It's like, wait, he did 3.5 taps.
TV.
All I'm saying about this is you guys are lucky we don't know anything about this, because if we did, we'd be pissed. All right, Drew, here's my idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Chris, are you listening? Okay.
Oh, yeah, well. He's thrilled.
All right. I'm on Pebble Beach.
Yeah.
I'm at the concourse today. There's, like I said, I don't know. Get on the computer, Chris. Put on the Pebble Beach here.
Pebble Beach?
Yeah. All there's right. got to be, there must be, there may be $100 million worth of cars out there. Maybe more.
Got it. $100 million.
All right. Submarine surfaces right in the bay. It's a beautiful bay.
The Russians beautiful are coming.
Bay. No, no. Yeah. It's an old Soviet nuclear class, a submarine that's been bought cheaply on the black market and commandeered.
Oof.
They've removed all the torpedoes and stuff and all the missiles and everything, but it can hold like 22 cars now.
Perfect.
Pilot comes on top. First guy.
The front cone opens.
Cone opens. Guy, you know, and it got that guy with the crazy accent. He's good looking. He has long hair. Yeah. You know, they take the 50 millimeter, start spraying all the gentry.
Yeah,
people dress in period garb, bottles of Cristal. Sometimes they do dress that way.
To make it look like fat rich guys.
Fat rich guys, whitey.
Yeah,
sprayed, champagne going everywhere, and he does that thing where he goes, I hope I've got your attention now. You know, what weird things like very. He's very understated and everything.
Yeah.
All right. My guy, could be me, could be Steven Seagal or something.
Zanetti.
Well, no. That's a different... I'm pitching a movie here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You brought up coffee and donuts, you idiot.
Well, but I mean a Zanetti-like character, some guy that's...
No.
Okay. Right.
No. Yeah. This guy's he's been drummed out of the service. Not because he didn't get the job done, because he punched out a superior officer when he left some men behind.
Played by his own rules.
Tried to cover it up. Tried to make his own. Yeah, played his own by his own rules. Wasn't scared to stand up. He had good men that he left behind.
He was framed for a crime he didn't commit.
That's right. Drummed out of the military, but
for trying to save his.
This guy was SEALs and Green Beret and Special Forces. Nobody better.
He tried to save his men, but disobeyed an officer in the course of.
Now he's dressed in a old turn of the century. Make it 20s kind of chauffeur outfit. And he's been demoted to just dusting like a Bentley. You know, he's got the dust thing on there. He's saying, but he sees
loves
what's
cars.
Going on.
Loves cars,
but sees what's going on.
Yeah.
And these guys take these multi-million-dollar cars and they start loading them onto the thing. They're taking them to foreign markets.
But what motivates him is a bullet hits. One of his favorite cars. You've seen foreboding. Now you've done it.
See his reflection in the cracked rearview mirror.
Yeah, yes, there you go.
Very symbolic.
This car means something.
Stows away in the car as they load them onto the submarine.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's as far as I got.
Antics ensue.
Yeah.
Is it comedy or action?
I didn't get any further. I saw Jay Leno and I hid.
Okay.
No, it's action.
No comedy.
Oh, okay. What's funny about cars being stolen?
Yeah.
This is very serious.
Okay.
Now it's out there, and he's on the sub. Interesting. Stowed away in a Duesenberg. Yeah. And they're going to some Arab country to sell them to, like, a Sultan of Brunei or something.
Nice.
Yeah. He's in the trunk. Oh, yeah. Oh. Action ensues. It's very exciting.
Moved.
Yeah, it's powerful stuff.
I'm weeping.
Powerful stuff.
Now let's hear a pitch.
All right. Matt?
Hey.
All right, you have a sitcom idea you want to pitch us?
Yeah, I do. Now this one, it was already sort of pitched to the person that was supposed to start it, and he said no way. But I'll give it to you anyways because I think it's pretty good.
Right.
So it's called Charles Grodin, Celebrity Lawyer. Here's my log line. Every day, celebrities live in fear that one day the lifestyles they work so hard for will come to a crashing halt. And there's one who dares to uphold the special rights of all celebrities, and that's Charles Grodin, Celebrity Lawyer. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so basically it's about Charles Grodin. You know, he's a little distraught with the loss of his television show and the discontinued association with the Beethoven movie. Excuse me.
Right. Yeah, and so he turns to law. So this is about the real Charles Grodin?
Well, no, it's not. It's sort of loosely based, right? So he's lost direction, and he's rummaging through his attic, you know, and he has
finds his law degree.
Yeah, he finds
his JD up there in the attic.
Yeah, exactly. And then later that day, he's sort of just a chance meeting. He runs into a fellow celebrity who's framed for shoplifting, and that's how it all starts.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me say this, Matt, and everybody's listening out there, as far as ideas go, it's really the execution. I mean, we get this all the time. You know, man show idea or love line or something like that. It's just really how they're done. Either they're executed well. If you really think of any 99% of the TV concepts on, you know, it's like, oh, I wish I'd thought of The Sopranos. You wish you just thought of an hour-long drama that took place in New Jersey that involved the mafia. That's they've done 1,000 of them. They're never any good. They usually star Andrew Stevens and they suck. This is good because you have really talented people writing it, really talented people casting it, and it's shot. You know, I mean, really, if you think about the success of The Sopranos, it's only because of the quality of The Sopranos. Other than that, it's
nothing
a
special.
Soap opera,
yeah,
that takes place on, you know, HBO,
yeah,
or any show you like, whatever it is. It's really the execution of it. Once in a blue moon, and I say 99%, I leave the 1% for Jeopardy. Somebody came up with a good idea for a game show where you say the answer and the person provides the question. Once in a while, something like that happens. Other than that, it's just pure execution. Mm-hmm. And shows like Survivor are around because they're done well. Everyone's like, oh, the idea. They get so caught up in the idea. It's all about the execution. Mm-hmm. Yes? See, look at this show now. Drew sits there and goes,
That's a perfect evidence of execution.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I couldn't get another guy to do that. I mean, there's no way now, a guy like Chris, let's try it.
All right.
Let's recreate it. All right, I'll go on right. my Jag. You play right. Dr. Drew's part, and I'm going to prove to you that it can't be done with an amateur.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Watch.
It's all about the execution.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, look at The Sopranos. It's a great cast. It's great writing. It's brilliantly produced and executed.
Right.
No. See, you put
not even close.
I saw
long
your mouth.
Inflection.
Hold on a second.
Your mouth moved.
I can't talk. I saw your mouth open.
Right. And it moved.
Yeah, it moved. Something came out of it.
Okay.
Put it back in.
Yeah,
whatever
close
came
your
out.
Lips and go, mm-hmm,
go
mm-hmm.
get whatever came out of your mouth and put it back in. Yeah, that was nothing like Drew. Did you see Drew? He was staring off into space. Yeah. His lips were pursed.
Okay,
he looked sort of disinterested.
All right, start over.
All right, but keep your lips closed this time and don't look at me. Look distracted. Or, as a matter of fact,
I got to get a pen. Hold on. See how you can't function if I don't do my job, Adam?
Yeah, I know.
He looks at you. You can't
do it. Do me a favor. Read something while your lips are pursed and you're not looking at me.
I read Pebble Beach.
Tap a pen.
Yeah.
Just go tap.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
All right, I don't want to see any teeth. I use The Sopranos as a great example. This show is beautifully written, and it's wonderfully acted. It's not the idea.
Mm-hmm.
It's the execution of an idea.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
it was kind
better.
Of too.
It's better,
it
but no feeling. No,
well,
yeah.
Okay, yeah. But there's my point.
And Chris, do not laugh at what he says.
Do not
show any amusement.
It's like you almost smiled for a second.
It's like feeding a lion or something. It's like showing them a big thing of beef.
Yeah. No, didn't Ann and Lauren talk to you about that?
No.
Okay, you can lose your job.
They perfected it. Just follow their lead.
Yeah. All right. So the point is Drew?
Yeah.
Irreplaceable.
Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Matt?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm not
going to
help Matt.
Mm-hmm.
Matt?
Hey.
I like the idea. I can do nothing for you. keep writing. You have to keep writing. That's all I can say.
You got to get out of British Columbia. Wait. What's he going to do from British Columbia?
Well, don't come here.
Well, what's he going to do? Go to New York?
Go to New York.
Okay.
New York. What else can I do? Like, how do I get people to read my stuff? How do I get attention?
There's a weird thing that goes on in this town, Matt, where if people read your stuff, they won't read it because they're afraid if they come up with a similar idea, you'll sue them. So
yeah.
They refuse to read things.
I mean, I'm looking through directories.
All right. Here's what you need to do. You need to intern at some TV show.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what you need
to
do.
That's good advice.
That's what you need. You go to some place, and there's lots of productions going on in Canada. Trump, you'll work for free.
Yeah.
You'll hang out.
Yeah, for a long time.
You'll Xerox stuff and go on coffee runs. Mm-hmm. And you do that for a few years, and next thing you know, somebody lets you help them on something.
Yeah.
All right?
That's exactly right.
Right. All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191. All right, we're going to go back to the phones, and we're going to speak to Sarah, who's 20. Sarah?
Yeah.
What's up?
All right, so I'm 8 months pregnant with my second child, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And the question for Dr. Drew, and I'm wondering what the best birth control would be to be on after this pregnancy, because this pregnancy I got on when I was on the pill.
Were you taking the pill properly?
Yes. The first time I wasn't. That's how I got pregnant the first time. The second time I was very, very, very strict about taking it. I took it every day.
Were you taking antibiotics or something that might have affected the efficacy of the pill?
No. The doctor said that it might have been too weak for me.
That's what I was just thinking. Am I on a mini pill or something?
I don't know what they put me on.
Well.
It could have been.
Some people are more fertile than others. Yes, Drew?
Yes.
Could you say it that way?
It's more that medication affects people differently. And in her case, it did make a difference. And maybe something more like something with more estrogen in it would be better for you. So, again, the hormones are the most effective. I could see where you might be anxious and want to add a condom to the mix here just to really take the risk down quite a bit.
Well, it'll make it temporary because my husband's going to have a vasectomy, but we have to save up for it first.
Good.
All right.
How much is a vasectomy?
I don't know. He has insurance. I just know we have to pay a chunk of it.
Oh, okay. Well, you just got
probably a couple hundred dollars.
Deductible?
What's that?
It's probably just the deductible, right? Or 10%
or
something
like that. Something
like that. All right. Well, that's good. You know, actually, I was thinking I would contribute
patch.
To that.
The ortho ever patch. Try about that.
You know the guys at the bottom of the freeway ramp that have the Vietnam veteran sign or making money and need money to get gas to get back to Arizona.
So if I stood down there to help a sign, need money for vasectomy?
I'd throw a couple quarters in the bucket.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Yeah, just from an evolutionary standpoint.
Just some guy with a moths buzzing around his head. Weird eye patch on, just frothing at the mouth, and wants a vasectomy.
You're on board.
I give him a couple bucks.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think just for creativity. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So Sarah should think about the patch.
I don't know. Again, patch something. Again, I'm suspicious that she will not be as diligent with the pill as she thinks she might be, since she failed on the first go around.
Because she's saying the patch, not because it's more effective.
Well,
but
it'll give her more estrogen than the mini stuff, and there's a reason. I'm sensing here some problems. Why they put her on the mini pill?
You don't trust her. You don't really trust her.
Also,
she screwed up on the pill the first time.
That and why they put her on the mini pill? Was she complaining about side effects and stuff? Just get on the patch and get more estrogen. Right. Let's go.
Sarah, why did they put you on the mini pill?
I think that they said that they were going to put me on the mini pill because I was still breastfeeding.
All right. Well, there you go. Hey, Sarah?
Yeah.
You sound pretty together for a 20-year-old with
two kids.
Kid, yeah. Well,
I tried.
Almost. All right. Good. Get the hubby fixed.
Why just use a condom and a
who the hell wants to use a rubber with their wife?
For a while until he gets his vasectomy.
Oh, okay.
That's all.
All right.
A rubber. I haven't heard they call it a rubber in a long time.
I don't know.
A rubber.
I'm old school, brother.
Dude, you are.
Yeah.
A rubber.
Jamie?
Hi.
Hello. Hardy har. Never heard Drew laugh. Jamie, you're 18.
Yes, I am.
What's happening?
I was wondering if being on depression pills and sleeping pills were a bad idea.
What about supplementing your pills with a little sleeping
pill? Sleeping pills should really never be used more than a couple of weeks, period.
Yeah.
I have problems sleeping, and I've had problems sleeping for the past, 5 months. I mean, I've been up to, 4 or 5 in the morning, and I can't go to sleep, you know?
Because you're depressed, right?
Yeah, kind of.
All right, so your depression needs to be properly treated. Early awakening, difficulty falling asleep, these sorts of things are symptoms of depression. If the depression is treated, those symptoms will get better.
Will they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you being seen by a psychiatrist?
No, I'm not. I haven't even been to my doctor to even talk to him about it.
All right. Come on, Jamie. Get it taken care of.
I know.
Get it going here. Bring
all
it
right,
down.
Let's
come
go.
On. Come on. Take care of yourself.
She's calling from Palm Springs.
Yeah.
What do you think it was in Palm Springs today?
112.
I'm going 114. Jamie.
Yeah.
How hot was it in Palm Springs today?
I actually can't tell you. I was in Corona.
Okay. Oh, how hot was in Corona?
Yeah.
Wasn't hot.
98?
Corona's
by the beach.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Corona's next to Riverside.
Oh, I thought there was some beach. I'm thinking of the beer.
Yeah.
Is this Corona? There's a Corona Del Mar, isn't there?
That's right. My Corona is Inland Empire.
Oh, we're different. Not the Corona Del Mar.
No.
Oh, that's the one I'd like to be in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jamie.
Yes.
How hot was it in Palm Springs yesterday?
I've been gone for a month and a half.
Oh, okay.
It's been about 115, though.
All right. Thank you. That's all we needed. 115 degrees, and human beings are supposed to live in this environment.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, what's that?
Let me tell you. I was just in Monterey.
Oh.
It was 71 and a nice offshore breeze blowing and sunny. Spectacular. Oh, yeah. Saw those California condors flying around.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's going to be a perfect setting for my sub-movie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Maybe attack condors.
Oh,
they could use like, no, they could drop bombs on the submarine or something.
No, no, no. I just came up with a great title for it. You ready? It's a sub-movie where they steal cars. Subterranean parking.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's good. A little too anime with them. Mm-hmm, Chris. And just sort of, yeah? What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's good.
I don't believe him either.
I believe he may have liked it. Mm-hmm. He just go, mm.
Yeah.
There you go. Laura?
Yeah.
You're 21?
Yeah.
What's happening?
My son now is 8 plus months old, but when I was pregnant with him, I used for like the first 4 months.
Used what?
Speed. Uh-huh. I actually like, because I had a really, really, really bad problem with speed, and mm-hmm. I don't know how I did it, but I managed to get sober. Mm-hmm. And luckily, thank God, that he came out with every finger, every toe, but yeah. And he's fine. But I was just like wondering, I don't want to think that like nothing could happen. So basically, like what could happen in the future, if anything, or how I'd get ready for it, or you know, like.
All right, so. Kids,
ADD is one of the things.
Kids, I mean, I have the ADHD. They said I self-medicated with speed.
Kids 8 months old now.
Yeah.
You did meth from 0 to 4 months as far as your pregnancy went.
Mm-hmm.
And then what else, Drew? Anything else?
All right. First of all, get out of your head the idea that you were self-medicating ADD, ADHD. Yes, that's why you chose speed. That's why you like speed. But you got strung out on speed and couldn't stop doing speed despite of the consequences because you're an addict.
Yeah. Mm.
And the addiction needs to be treated separate from... Let anybody treat your ADD, ADHD. Adult ADD is addiction in my world. Every single ADD I've ever seen except for two have been addicts. And they do not take stimulants. Your addiction treated.
When I was a child.
Get your addiction treatment. ADD is a marker for addiction. ADD in childhood is the child who's going to be an addict. Okay?
Over a year sobriety. I went into program when I got sober.
All right, good. So that's how you got sober. You got program. All right, here's the deal. Children exposed to amphetamine, particularly, and cocaine also, can have developmental problems, behavioral problems, cognitive problems, learning problems, particularly around kindergarten, first grade. That's when you start to see things emerge. And if they do, have them treated. My understanding is that for the most part, the outcomes as they get older are actually less severe than they originally thought they might be.
Mm.
So things kind of turn out okay.
Better 0 to 4 months or 4 months to...
I don't know the answer.
I mean, they told me basically that it was better off. I was sober longer than I was using during my pregnancy. You know, I mean,
That's better.
But I mean, they did all the tests and everything, and
It sounds like you're in pretty good shape.
The kid's gonna be fine. And now the real hurdle is you're 21.
Yeah,
you had a little bout with the meth.
Your sobriety. Keep your sobriety going.
I'm not sure where Daddy is. Where's Daddy?
I have actually another question about that because basically he. He's mad at me for using, and he's being mad at me but staying away. And I know you, Dr. Drew, like having both parents in their lives, and I've been trying really hard to have them have a relationship, but he's been like
Drew's crazy that way.
Yeah, look, he's using that as an excuse. That's BS.
What's he talking about?
He's an a-hole.
So how much did I try to have my son have a father?
With this guy?
I've been putting a lot of energy into it, and it's now he's like calling me psycho.
All right, hold on a second. All right, your son's been on the terra firma here for 8 months, right? This guy's seen him how many times?
Once in
8 months?
This guy's a colossal a-hole.
He's an idiot and he wants out.
Okay.
Yeah. He is out.
Well, yeah.
He's not coming back.
It kind of scares me, like,
You're a single mom, and stop clinging to the dream of getting this guy interested in something he's not interested in.
Here's what I recommend. Mm-hmm. Get a couple years of sobriety under your belt. You will be amazed at the healthy people you begin attracting, not the crazy, messed up, coked up guys you used to go for. You'll be attracted to a different kind of person. A different kind of person will be attracted to you.
Did you say messed up?
Whatever.
No, it's good.
It's like messed up.
Yeah, so like when you're gay and you say messed up. Yeah. That's what it sounds like, messed up.
That when you get healthy, you'll attract healthy
Mike Tyson
people.
Saying messed
people are
up.
Compulsive or capable of a relationship. You'll have a relationship. You'll have a long-term one, hopefully, and that will be the child's male role model.
Yeah. All right.
Don't worry about that. Recreate for the on behalf of the child a nice story about who his father actually was. An astronaut.
Right.
They lost in the Pacific. They never retrieved his body.
Right. He was dusting a Lincoln, a 1923 Lincoln, when a commandeered Russian sub pulled up on Pebble Beach. He stowed away.
This is more for your movie. This could be the home front.
He stowed away in the intake manifold of a Bugatti, and later was drowned when he tried to sabotage the sub. But as a hero, and he's at sea. And every time you see the ocean, you think of him, and you'll hear his name. Instead of a jacked-up meth head who raped me in a truck stop urinal.
And didn't want to see you.
And never took any interest. Right. Say yes?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's take ourselves a quick break.
Yeah.
Come back. We'll speak to Katie.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Hmm? Caught well, Dad smoking pot?
See what's on line, too.
Okay. Oh. Mystery call.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
It's entry in progress call.
Entry in progress, it says. Scintillating. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. All right, you ready to rock here, girl?
Let's
go.
Let's break it down.
Let's get it going now. Let's get it on.
James.
Got to get it on.
20.
Good morning.
Yeah. James?
Yeah.
James. There we go. Go, James. Speak.
Yes, I'm a 20-year-old virgin, and my girlfriend is 19.
Oh, man, are you?
I was going to say that, yeah.
And I've just got back from Iraq in April.
Hold on one second, James. Is he, put him on hold. I feel like I don't want to embarrass poor James, but do you think the reason he's a virgin is not for lack of opportunity, but maybe for lack of drive? Because maybe the levels of the hormone aren't quite as high as in some guys, and that's why the voice is the way it is, and we assume then that he's a virgin? You understand what I'm saying? Which is first, the chicken or the egg here?
Well, we had this discussion last week, which is I and Drew, for that matter, can just pick guys or virgins or not by the sound of their voice. We talked to 12-year-olds, and they too was going down.
Now, is that a function of losing the virginity or the function of a guy who is that androgenized, that masculine, that you know he's not going to be a virgin any longer?
Yeah. Yeah. I'd say it's part inflection and
part both, yeah. Yeah, like everything.
Right. It's a little bit of everything. Yeah,
three.
Oh, went to the wrong one. But virgin back. Oh, by the way, you should have to get laid before you go into a battle zone.
Yeah, I think they owe you that.
Dying a virgin would be horrible.
Yeah.
James?
Yeah.
James? Yeah.
Yes.
All right. So you're in the Air Force?
Yes.
And you just got back from Iraq.
Yes.
What do you do in the Air Force?
I'm a military cop.
Oh, MP. And how was Iraq?
Worst experience of my life.
Really? Why?
Just the things that I saw.
What happened?
I really can't say a lot that did happen. It just... A lot of things I don't even wish my worst enemy would see.
But can you, I mean, things happening to civilians or to your
civilians, to military, my comrades, everybody.
So you were in combat?
Yes, I was in Baghdad.
Now what, as a military cop, what are you doing?
Base security.
But why are you in such intense areas of combat?
Because the base was actually under hostile fire.
Wow, bad times.
You know, it's interesting. I was talking to some older people, like say our parents' age, the other night, and I was saying, you don't understand. I mean, the people in their the young adults now, either themselves or all of them know somebody who's in Iraq, who's in the military.
Yeah,
I mean, this is our country. This is our time right now.
Hey, James.
This generation is dealing with wartime, and the rest of us are sort of sitting back. It's come on.
James?
Yeah.
When, I agree with you, Drew, by the way. Did, so you were there for how long?
6 months.
And you got to come back already?
Yes.
Why so soon?
Because the Air Force only does 6 months rotations.
Oh, all right.
We do a 6 months there and 6 months home, 6 months there.
Really? All right.
Yeah.
Got to get in that Air Force. And so now you're back, you're virgin, and your girlfriend had some bad experiences with guys.
Yes.
That's what the question says. And what does that mean?
Combination of them just being, like, some of them were hurtful, abusive, just cheating on her, just...
Okay, James, and so that's why she doesn't want to move the relationship along with you? Is that what she's saying?
Actually, what it is her father controls her. Whatever he wants, he manipulates her to do whatever.
Yeah.
Here's what...
My buddy Chris shows up, and she's blowing him while he's talking to her dad.
Right.
That's how it works. Yeah. I love that. No, when you got to get some juice.
Right, but let me translate. Let me translate further. Chris, James, not bad enough. Because obviously she went for these horrible guys in spite of what dad wanted.
All right.
And so why won't she go for you, the good guy?
Here's the whole thing, James, and everybody who's listening who plays that sort of her dad won't let her card or her boss or she's moving or whatever. Here are your two choices in this matter. Either she's telling you the truth and her dad won't let her date you or be with you or whatever, and obviously she's going to listen to him, or she's lying and she's using her dad as an excuse
to not see you. It's not even a volitional lie. It's just sort of a distortion.
Easier.
Yeah, it's just sort of like...
It's convenient.
Yeah.
Path of least resistance. And the point is either scenario, what's it mean, Drew?
Can't change things.
You're out.
Yeah.
And I wonder if she's even your girlfriend, James.
Well, with what we've done in the past 4 months, with me coming home all the time and us seeing each other and everything, I would interpret it as my girlfriend.
We got that you interpreted that.
I know you think that.
Yeah, that's not what counts here.
Right. All right. So,
James,
I think I don't think she thinks of you as her boyfriend, and I think she's out of this thing.
This is two guys speaking to you from...
Tough love.
Well, having been in your shoes.
That's
right.
What'd
you say?
I was in Iraq when I was
19.
20. People want to know
what
the hell I was doing there.
Yeah. No, James, we've
loved and lost.
We've not just...
We've been played.
Pined for the unavailable.
Unrequited love.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. So, James.
And we all wish that we had somebody like us grab us by the collar and just shake us.
Yeah.
Do one of those.
It's more like me than you, but yeah. Hey, James, I think there's a part of you that knows that she's not really into this thing either. Now, there's a part. We haven't talked about this in a while, Drew. There's a part of everybody that, I mean, when you're 19 and you're horny, when you're 20 and you're horny, when you're 17 and you're horny, when you're just a male between the age of 14 and...
50?
It can go up to 28, 29, 30. There's a 15-year range in there where you can want it enough for the both of you.
Yes.
And where you can become obsessive.
Yes.
And a little delusional.
Yeah.
And even smart guys can... Smart guys can't be fooled by bad lies coming from, like, car salesmen and stuff like that, and guys selling timeshare, but they can easily lie to themselves and get away with it.
Yeah, and women can lie to them even easier.
Yeah, all they need is a little kernel of something of, well, it's not me, I'd love to see you, but dad doesn't. Immediately we go to work on dad. What are we going to do? Because she's dying to see me. She's just listening to her dad for the first time ever. You know what I'm saying? It's just, if someone is not with you, it's because they don't want to be with you. And we drive the wrong point home in movies. We then go, and it turns out it is the dad. It's never the dad. If the chick wants to see you, she sneaks out the window and sees you. That's right. If she's into you, she's into you. If he's into you, ladies... He's into you, and if not, all the other excuses, don't believe them. They don't exist.
Yeah,
you've been watching too many Disney movies.
Yeah, the unfortunate reality is we are much more primitive than that, especially at that age. We don't do things that make sense.
If there was a chick that you were super hot for when you were 19, 20 years old, anybody in the family could have kept you away? You would have stabbed your dad with a crocheting needle and stepped right over his cold, dead body just to get a handy. Am I right?
I don't know about the handy, but yeah.
Whatever, street style, whatever you were doing back then. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's no way. My dad, I would have hurt myself laughing.
If your dad said something to you?
We would have had the conversation with him in the living room on the sofa, though. Son, I forbid you from ever seeing that girl again. What's that, Dad? I can't hear him. In the entry hall. Don't make me sit forward.
Gone.
I'm thinking about leaning forward. I've been thinking about it for 9 years. All right, let's take a little break. I would laugh like a maniac if at 15 my dad told me that.
I know.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. All right. Well, I drove home from Pebble Beach today. Got up early. I'm getting tired, Drew.
Oh, really?
Gotta be honest with you.
Oh, boy.
I'll tell you, is there anything better than a free breakfast? Anything gets you out of bed faster than a free breakfast?
Well, any free food evidently mobilizes you.
Yeah, but the breakfast really gets you. It gets you out of bed.
Yeah,
it gets you out of your room.
Yeah. Where'd you have it?
I was up at like the Carmel Valley Inn or some place like that.
Nice.
It was GM was paying for all this junk, and they got the breakfast going.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, the guy, the crepe guy. Crepe guy.
Of course. I was going to ask you about that. You got a Blintz guy?
Blintz guy.
Yeah.
No, just a crepe guy. Blintz is nice, but they just had the crepes. But then they get the build-your-own-omelet guy.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing. Imagine, okay, you're lying in bed. You don't want to get up, but you smell some bacon. You smell a little coffee.
Yeah.
And you hear the Blintz guy making his way to a station. You're up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Gets you motivated. Instead, I got half a yogurt to look forward to in the fridge, or maybe out of the fridge. It doesn't motivate me. But the coffee gets me up, I realize.
Yeah.
Gets you up? Oh, I drove out Friday morning, left at 4:30 a.m. Went to bed at 2:30, got up at 4:30 and left. So,
what? Say it again.
Went to bed. I drove out Friday to Pebble Beach.
Yeah.
I left at 5 a.m.
Was wow.
on the road at 5 a.m. Went to bed at 2:30. Got up at 4:30.
That's what I thought you said.
And split. Kind of. You know what though? You get there and you don't even remember. It's amazing what you can do. And not
do you know
even
for
know.
The first time in? Let me think about this. 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sleeping.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm like letting myself sleep till like 8:30 in the morning, even after going to bed at 12:31.
Good.
Loveline.
I kept telling you to do that.
I've been like 2 weeks. I've been getting like a 7 to 9 hours of sleep every night for 2 weeks. I'm a different human being.
Yeah. Yeah. I can tell by the way you grunt when I'm going on a tirade.
Listen.
You know, before I should go on my tirades and it'd be like
empty grunts. Yeah.
And now it's like,
See?
Yeah. Saw his head. You see his head move? It's crazy. He's saying him. He's beaked up, this guy. I reel it in just a little bit, Drew.
How
You're
crazy is
that?
But now that I'm sleeping, I'm thinking to myself, what the F? Well, 20 years of six,
well,
like, five,
you
4 hours.
You torture yourself and then get angry at the world. I told you to sleep in for a long time. All right, thank you. Abby?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Yes.
What's up?
I have difficulties sleeping with my boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Sleeping with your boyfriend, having sex. What happens?
There we go, yeah.
What happens?
I don't know. Like, I'm bipolar.
Okay.
And I'll just go through, like, my manic highs and my manic lows where I want to have sex with him, and then other times, like, I'll have really bad flashbacks.
Of what?
I was molested when I was younger.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, so that's going to screw up your ability to have relations, right?
Who molested you?
My mom's boyfriend.
Good times. And so what we see then is people typically go through periods of very, very intense sexual activity where they're sort of recreating the trauma, and then they'll switch from that to very depriving or deprivation states where they don't have any sex. They're shut down.
Yeah.
So maybe you're in that kind of shutdown stage.
Man, did you tell your mom about this guy?
Yeah, I went through court and everything. She testified against me.
At least she realized she said the S word.
She did catch
herself.
Better
than most of our callers.
Yeah, Abby dropped the S-bomb, so we had to put her on hold so we can reboot here for a second. I always wonder about this. Like, are people that truly evil, or does Abby have some sort of very negative semi-twisted version of what mom did in court?
Both.
It's both.
Yeah.
Right. Mom's horrible. Mm. But did she really testify against her daughter? We'll try to find out.
You know what? I've seen so much screwed up stuff in my career. It's just sort of...
Abby?
My favorite phrase now is whatever.
Hey, Abby?
I just believe anything.
Don't swear
and nothing.
Again.
I'm sorry.
All right. Now, how is it that your mom testified against you in court for this molestation
by him
thing?
And all this other poo and...
So she was...
she was freaked out?
Poo.
I guess, yeah.
And so she was scared of the guy?
Yeah.
So she was saying stuff like, I never saw anything?
Like, that could never happen, da-da-da-da-da.
Mm-hmm.
And made me sound like a liar.
He was too busy beating me. To...
And so what happened? He was found guilty?
Mm-mm. He signed a confess form, and he only served 2 months. And I don't even know if he's a registered molester.
Yeah, Abby, you don't have to take a huge drag off the circuit and blow it into the mic. the phone for us. We get it.
All right, baby.
All right, listen.
Angry.
So, have you had a lot of treatment?
I've been in therapy since I was 8.
Okay. Keep going. What I've noticed in people that have been through this is they sort of splinter internally. They become kind of a good self and a bad self. And when the bad self is active, that's when magically they can have sex. And when they actually get involved in a relationship with somebody worthwhile, that's when they tend to shut down, that the good self is somehow completely divorced from the sexual self. And you got to be able to integrate these things to have a real relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because he's like the first nice guy that I've ever been with.
Yeah, so don't screw it up. Don't screw it up.
Okay, yeah. Just try not to sabotage, Abby. It's gonna be difficult for you.
Yeah.
Like, before you give him a BJ, put out the cigarette. Nobody needs that.
And take your bipolar meds, too.
Yeah. You ever get your sack burned, Drew?
With a cigarette?
Well, Tipperillo?
No. Now I think about it, I can't.
Okay.
I can't say
you don't know pain, then.
Yeah.
Well, you don't know pain.
And, geez, you know, with your immense...
prodigious.
Your prodigious sackage, you get in the way. I mean, poor partner of yours, if she so much as lit a cigarette nearby, the sack would catch.
Prodigious.
Yeah.
Are you ready to rock?
Yeah.
Jen?
Sacco plenty.
Mr. Elastic Scrotum. Jen, you're 20.
Yeah, I'm here.
What's up?
That's right. Adam Carolla, Mr. Elastic Scrotum. That's me.
Yeah, I just have a question about, because I had chlamydia, and I got treated for it.
Yeah, what'd you take?
They gave me the stuff to drink. I don't know what it's called.
Right, azithromycin.
Yeah. Okay. And I think that was 2 weeks ago, and I was just wondering, does it go away right away?
Essentially. I mean, you're certainly good at 2 weeks.
Okay.
You know, people might recommend you stay off things for a week or so. But,
okay, because I was wondering when it will be safe to have unprotected sex again.
You should be fine. But it's not with the same partner, right?
No. Yeah.
God, so you can start partying tonight?
No.
But when? 2 weeks?
No, now.
Oh, now. What was the two-week part?
She has been 2 weeks.
Oh, has been 2 weeks.
She could start tonight, but how dare you suggest that she is going to start tonight, Anna?
Yeah, and then she started laughing when you said same partner. Please, that was Friday. It's almost Monday.
Right.
Please, got to be some new penis. Katie?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Yeah. I was 14, I got diagnosed with bipolar, and they put me on meds, and they never explained me that I had bipolar, like really what it was, you know. They explained it to my parents, and they put me on Depakote.
How old were you?
I was about 14.
How fruitful would it have been for them to spend a lot of time discussing your brain chemistry at 14?
Well, it would have been a lot of help, because now I'm 18, and after I went in the hospital 11 times in a year, I had 11 stays there, and then I ended up at a group home, and now I'm going to a doctor, and I'm out of the group home. I've been out for a year, and they tell me that I'm not bipolar, and I'm not on any meds now, and I feel fine, but because of the Depakote, I gained over 70 pounds. And
Depakote doesn't typically cause weight gain. Were you on something else? Were you on Zyprexa?
That was the only thing I was on.
All right. Seroquel, nothing else?
I'm on Seroquel now.
Yeah, well, that can cause you to gain weight.
Sometimes people just gain weight from 14 to 18.
Well, yeah, that's the only thing I was on, and it was over the summer, like 3 months.
Hmm.
Depakote doesn't typically cause weight gain. It really doesn't.
Really?
I imagine it's possible it did, but it doesn't typically.
Yeah.
All right, but how does the part where you're in and out of homes and all that stuff work and go to the hospital 11 times?
And how could you not have a mental illness requiring all those hospitalizations?
Well, the thing is me and my mom, we don't get along at all, and I have a really short temper.
Mm-hmm.
So every time something happened, I would go back. Like, and it just went on and on. And then
would you try hurting yourself?
Yeah, I used to cut a lot.
Okay. So you have that's major, serious mental illness, Katie.
Yeah, baby doll.
That you need
well, listen.
It's great that you're off meds and feeling good now, but don't think that magically things have vanished. You need to work hard and stay, you know, be carefully managed. These are chronic conditions that need to be treated over a long, long period of time to be successfully free of symptoms.
All right, baby.
Well, I want to know, because is there anything, like, I can do? Because I didn't know about this gain weight. Now I have stretch marks, and my mom wants to sue, and I didn't know if, like,
wants to sue the doctor?
Yeah, the doctor.
It does not seem like there's a direct connection there, in my thinking.
No.
Yeah.
Tell your mom not to sue. Tell everyone not to sue. Everyone, please stop suing so I can get on with my goddamn life without reading warning labels and getting smashed by pneumatic closers in every door I open. Everyone, stop suing. Stop wanting to sue. Can we do that? I've never sued anybody. I've never even wanted to sue anybody. It's not an option. Just unless the guy sets you on fire while you're asleep, move forward, everybody. Please, with the lawsuits. Everyone's destroying the country. And the lawyers are destroying the country, but without a-holes who are throwing themselves downstairs at casinos every 5 minutes, there'd be no clientele. Let's all stop suing each other.
Please.
Stop wanting to sue each other.
I mean, you can't, it's, you know, what the thinking is, the doctor wanted to harm her or was negligent by trying to help, but not.
Something bad has happened to me and I need to be compensated.
Right.
Why don't we get a class action lawsuit against God for all the people that are disabled?
Or anyone for anything bad or unpleasant.
Well, I'm going to blame God for anyone born with an abnormality.
Yeah.
You screw up
rollerblading. Blame the obstetrician.
Yeah, let's just stop it. Let's just stop suing everybody. Can we do that? I have a little dignity. What's going on? And how about some goddamn PSAs that talk about something for a change?
Ooh, dignity. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, I sit here all night and listen to stupid PSAs about where your laptop computer is and not partying. Yeah, let's work like a charm. We've had 50 years of PSAs about not having that beer when you're under 21. Let's work like a charm. Marijuana? It's not smoked anymore. Cocaine? Out of business. Underage drinking? Doesn't exist. No, we've conquered that. We've climbed that mountain and conquered it, Drew.
Here we go.
Yeah, those PSAs, they work like charms. How about a little something? I'm a little PSA that's like, have some goddamn dignity. Stop suing everybody. Pick yourself up by your own bootstraps and get to work, would you? Your last easy day was yesterday. Don't eyeball me, son. I want a DI. I want a drill instructor to deliver these things.
Yeah.
Lou Gossett Jr. from An Officer and a Gentleman. Just start screaming at everybody. He's 70? He's doing Iron Eagle 5. What are you talking about? One day I'm going to put together a list of actors who have Academy Awards and have done horrible, horrible films since, and it's going to be funny. And Lou Gossett Jr. would be maybe not at the top, but in my top five. He's done some bad work since he got his Academy Award, Drew. I'm hoping one day I can get to the point where I get Academy Award and then start doing bad work.
You know, you really could get a rich payoff is Academy Award nominees.
Yeah.
That's
everybody. The guys that actually brought home the trophy and have then gone on to do Iron Eagle 1, 2, and 3. Yeah. That's less plausible than my sub movie plot. What are you doing, Drew? We ready to rock?
Let's go.
What's going on? Let's get it on.
Go, wait for you.
Let's get it on. Let's get it on. Drew, the amount of movies I see to the amount of movies I announce I'm going to see, either on pay-per-view at the hotel or actually in the movie theater, got to be 75-1. Like, I was out of town this week. I now, hey, what's on this pay-per-view? Because they have the still in the theaters one.
Yeah.
Troy.
Uh-huh.
I could see that. I'm going to watch. I announced it three consecutive nights I was going to watch it. No, never did.
Yeah.
No, beat off in the shower and went to bed. Sarah?
Yeah?
You're 17?
Yes.
What's happening?
Hi, Adam. Hi, Dr. Drew.
Sarah.
Well, I recently slept with my best guy friend, and I wanted some relationship advice because he told me he just wanted to be friends.
Mm-hmm. After you guys slept together?
Before and after.
Yeah. Okay. How long have you guys known each other?
Off and on about 2 years. We met in school.
Were you attracted to him at first? Did you want to be a boyfriend, girlfriend?
No, not at first. After I got to know him, I started liking him.
Really? How'd you get to know him at first if you weren't attracted to him?
Well, we started hanging out. We live really close to each other, about 2 minutes away, so usually we just go hang out naturally because,
Because he lives
nearby,
within a five-mile radius of your house?
Yeah, and plus we have a lot of common interests. And
like what?
Well, like we have the same taste in music, the same taste in...
And he's never tried to come on to you before?
No, not really. We flirt, but nothing really before the...
Does he have a girlfriend?
He has an ex that he is still trying to pursue a relationship with.
Mm. I can't put this one together. It's a little bit of a
no. I can. I can.
Okay.
She's into
him.
She's into him.
And he's
passively into her, but he's way more into this other chick that's really got his attention because
she
dumped on him.
Yeah, yeah.
And now he's become a little bit obsessed with her.
Yeah, yeah. And now he had an opportunity with Sarah, so he had sort of a mercy action.
Yeah. When did this? How'd you guys finally get together after these years?
It's kind of funny. We were sitting in a car, and we were kind of having a truth or dare kind of thing.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Because he didn't think that I was daring, and I proved him wrong, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what was the truth or dare? I like when the guy pretends he comes up with something.
Yeah, I bet you wouldn't.
Like you couldn't take your top off and run around the car and then jump back in and land on my penis. I just thought of that, man. You guys pretend like they're trying to come up with dares, but always involved.
But what are the women thinking? What do they think the guy's motivated to do?
I know, it's so funny, too. Like, it's never like, let's see, truth, you tell me how many guys you slept with, or dare, you go down to Old Man Johnson's farm and egg his truck. It's always something with the shirt coming off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the chick. And for a guy, it's something, okay, you got to go outside and you got to take the hose or whatever and it's freezing cold or something like that. But with a chick, and it's, again, the guy's thinking, what would be good?
By the way, the guys are looking for an opportunity to show their willingness to deliver on your behalf.
You pull your sweater over your head and smear this lithium axle grease on your areolas. I just thought of that. I would have done the same for a dude. If you're playing, and by the way, when there's guys involved, it's like, okay, the guy's dare is like, put another sweatshirt on and then just go roll out in the snow.
Yeah, go roll out.
Flog yourself with the hose.
Yeah,
right.
Do something.
All right. What are we talking about?
Well,
Sarah,
it's prove you love me.
Yeah.
Right.
Sarah?
Yeah.
So what was the dare he gave you?
Well, it was more like what was the most teasing thing I could do to him kind of thing.
Oh my God. Sarah.
So what'd you do?
Well,
don't get too graphic.
Keep in mind that I'm very inexperienced in comparison to him, so I kind of kissed him on the neck and he laughed.
And said that wasn't good enough?
He explained to me that his idea of teasing was underneath clothing.
Ah, interesting that his idea was a step further than what you delivered. Usually guys say reel it in just a little bit.
What I like is like, how dare you? How dare you?
You call that a dare?
Oh, my God. This guy's good.
Yeah.
He's not good.
So then what happened?
Well, so then, I don't know, I kissed him and he kissed me back and we started making out and one thing led to another.
Yeah, one thing? One thing led to another.
All right, Drew. Don't get too condescending.
But wait a minute. How could that happen? I mean, I'm confused.
All right. Now, what's your nationality, by the way?
Me?
Yeah, you have one?
I'm Hispanic and white.
Mm-hmm. I knew it. Drew had another thought. Drew thought you may have been Asian for some crazy reason. I don't know why. I didn't get anything off of you, by the way. And very rare, by the way, because I'm usually looking for an ethnic angle, but I got nothing off of you. All right, so Sarah, then you guys had sex in the car.
Yeah.
Right. And now he's back to wanting to be friends.
At what point did he declare, by the way, as things were unfolding, we're just going to be friends after this, right? What was he doing at the moment that was delivered?
Mid-make-out, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
Listen, Sarah, here's the thing. He may still be your friend. He's not going to be your boyfriend. He's interested in this other chick. Yeah. You can't win him over. You've had sex with him now. It's not worked. You have to move on.
Okay.
Sorry, but yeah. that's the way it is.
Having sex with the guy does not convert them. Does not convert it into a relationship. Does not convert it into anything.
No. No. It does not. Oh, and here's the thing, too. It's so hard. You know, when you're, 18 or 17, it's like, oh, this person doesn't like me. How am I going to make it without this person? I'll never see this person. I mean, you remember those stupid sort of retarded fantasies where it's like you'd say, I will never see this person again. Oh, my God, no. I mean, they're so special. I couldn't imagine.
Couldn't live without them.
I don't think I can make it
a week. And the friends we had together. And oh, my God.
The times, yes. Yeah, but the point is now you're a little older, Drew. You didn't want to see your wife.
No.
Forget about the ones you've had.
I want to see my wife. I certainly want to see anybody else.
We'll go home to a house that's empty for a change.
No.
The point is think of all the people you haven't seen in 20 years and never think about it. It's cool.
Mm.
And once in a while, you're on a long drive, and Time in a Bottle comes on the radio, and you start drifting back. You get half a boner, but that's about it. You made it fine. Not only can you make it without this guy, you're going to make it without the next 10 guys, and then you'll marry the guy. And you're going to stay there for 4 years, and then you'll make it without him. I'm just saying, you don't need to see him.
And by the way, real relationship are people you want to be with but don't have to be with.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You want to be with somebody, you don't, must.
Let me tell you something, man. Love is like a bird, man.
You got to set it free, man.
And if it comes back, it was meant to be, man. But if it just flies out and gets hit by like a UPS guy, then it's dead, man.
A load of crap.
You can still have sex with it a couple of times, but not
dead, yeah.
But during the summer, you got to hurry because it'll go bad quick. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191er. Lisa Loeb. Oh, no, that's next week. She's coming in. Yeah.
It's John Hensley.
Yeah, from Nip Tuck coming in here. Matthew Lillard coming in here from up the creek without a paddle. Is that what it was?
Without a paddle, I think it is.
Without the paddle, yeah, that's what I said. Up the creek, up a creek.
Just without a paddle.
Creek. Oh, it's just without a paddle.
Yeah.
Oh, just without a paddle.
I think so.
It is without a paddle.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, you're right, Drew. That's why you get the big bucks.
That's why.
All right, let's... I want to do Germany or Florida.
Okay. Can you believe we get paid the same? Can you believe that, Chris?
No.
Okay, good. Very enthusiastic response.
I'm liking we're not doing piecework and I get paid by the syllable because you'd be destroyed. Rena?
Hey.
Yeah, imagine, Drew, if we were getting paid by the word and you and I had to compete. You see what I'm saying? See who could try to make more money?
Yeah, but there'd have to be sort of a weight applied to each word. You know what I mean? There'd be a value to each word.
I don't know. I think it would go something like this. Watch, it'd be like this. Rena.
Rena, what's going on? What's going on here?
Talk to me, baby.
Give
me
questions.
I'm right now.
Hey, wow, I feel a bit overwhelmed.
Well, you see now, in that
one, work.
I would have gotten in like 21 words. You would have gotten in 19 words.
You're very competitive.
No, and there, for redundancy, you'd have, like I said, no, I'm not, 128 times.
That wouldn't work.
Wouldn't work.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. I just repeated what you said. But there was a context to it.
That's okay.
All right. Let's stop being punchy. It's time to play Germany or Florida, by the way.
Let's go.
Rena?
Yeah.
14, baby doll. Germany or Florida? Here we go.
Okay. A man suspected of murder after he was seen carrying what a neighbor thought was a body into his flat has cleared his name by showing police his collection of rubber sex dolls.
We've heard this one. I've heard, actually.
Yeah. Oh, they decided it was Germany.
Yeah, it was Germany.
And don't use flat.
Yeah, flat. There's no Florida flats.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, they don't have. They have apartments.
Way to go, Raina. Nice job.
But thanks.
It was good. We liked that one. So
good job. Yeah. All right. Yeah, that was Germany.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Let's
another bogus call coming up here.
Justin?
Hey, how are you doing?
You're 18.
All right, so my question is, my friend was at work, and her friend there said, trying to have sex, you know, when she's on her...
Okay. All right.
Bad, and I'm happy because girlfriend wants him to do anal sex with her. Okay, he's reluctant. Wants to know about the rest.
That's bogus.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Began smoking pot, caught dad smoking
pot.
Let's
get these two. They've been there for a long time.
108 minutes on hold,
Drew. Let's go. Let's break it down.
Shasta?
Yes?
Is that your name?
Yes, it is.
Wow. What kind of name is Shasta?
I like my name. It's a soda.
It's a soda. Adam, it's a soda. You got that?
Oh.
It's also a mountain in Northern California.
It's a mountain as well.
It's
yes.
A county.
And a lake. And a lake and a county.
Yeah. So who named you Shasta?
My dad.
Oh, okay. All right. What's up?
Well, about a week ago, I started smoking pot.
Okay.
And I was wondering, because the guys that are my friends that I smoke with, they said that it doesn't really do anything to you. It's like the same as a cigarette.
No, that's not true. That's simply not true. It doesn't do anything to you if you smoke it once a month. But if you're smoking it every day, it has rather profound effects.
Yeah.
No, like probably 3 times a week.
Okay. 3 times a week can begin to add up.
That's enough. You're calling from Bakersfield, right?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, you need everything you got.
Believe me. Yeah. You should be eating like a ginkgo biloba.
Is that
the herb? You need one of those supplements that make you, that help your brain.
Not to bring it down.
Yeah.
Pot for some people can be quite addictive, and when it's used regularly, will have rather profound effects on your development, particularly your age. So please, please, please don't get going with that.
You're 16, baby doll. You got to move far away from Bakersfield.
Oh, I'm going to. I want to live in London.
London?
Good.
Think what Chasta will be like, that name in London will be like
perfect.
Intrigue.
What are you going to do there?
Video game producing.
Oh, that's perfect.
Why London?
Because it's L.A., New York, and London, and Japan.
Really? They may require her to smoke pot, though, to be a part of that industry, mightn't they?
What do you have to do to be a video game producer?
I'm going to get into the code area, like designing all the stuff.
Where do you train for that?
Well, I'm taking this computer programming class, and I need to learn all the programs. Like, I'm going to write programs.
Good.
I'm going to do all the code behind it, kind of like HTML.
Well, Shasta, don't. You need every brain cell you've got. Do not waste them.
That's right.
This is a highly competitive and intellectual field, it seems to me. At least challenging field.
Yes. Yeah, here's the whole thing about the weed, everybody. It stunts your mental growth, especially if you're doing it all the time. There's just certain things you miss.
It's not an accident we know you're smoking a lot of pot. We can tell immediately when somebody's smoking a lot of pot.
Yeah.
Not because they seem sharp and on their game.
No.
Quite the contrary.
It dulls you.
Yeah.
It's like when you don't get enough sleep, but every day. And I know you make that thing, but it does take the edge off and make you not quite as sharp as you were.
That's Caitlin.
Yeah. Caitlin? Yeah. When I say not enough sleep, I mean like, 5 minutes sleep.
Yeah.
Hey, you're a mess.
Yeah.
You don't think straight.
Right.
All right. Caitlin?
Yeah.
You're 17?
Yeah.
Yeah. Except for Bill Maher.
He doesn't sleep?
No, I think he smokes a ton of weed, but he's a very sharp guy.
No, I bet you he doesn't smoke that much. I bet when he smokes plenty. Well, there always is that guy that smokes for a long, long period of time, and it seemed to be resistant to these accumulative effects of the drug. I've known some people. I know some doctors that do that.
Well, let me.
What I will tell you is eventually that bill comes due.
Well, here's what I'm telling you. That ain't you. Whoever's listening.
Yeah, yeah, no, I know.
You ain't Bill Maher.
Believe me, I've seen like two of those people in my whole
Bill
life.
Bill Maher smoke a hay bale a pot a week and still be sharp
in fact,
as a tack.
I can't believe that would be Bill. It doesn't fit. Maybe twice a week he smokes out, but not every day.
I don't know. Really, I don't know how much weed he smokes.
I bet not.
Just
I bet
whenever
you
I'm
not.
Around him.
I bet
okay. Here's
he may be saying the same thing about you.
Well,
because whenever he's around you, you're smoking pot.
Well, yeah, but he hands me the joint.
So?
I don't ask him if he wants to go smoke weed. Okay, here's my point.
I remember when Tony Curtis asked him to go smoke.
Ask you to go smoke?
Ask him.
Ask Bill?
Yeah, Tony Curtis. Whoa. I'm like, oh, my God.
All right. Here's the point. Here's the thing with pot. Drew, stop making noise.
Maybe he was kidding.
There are a handful of people that are so intelligent, that are so advanced, that have such big brains, that they can actually cool their jets down a little. And it's like trying to put out a volcano with a garden hose. Yeah, oh yeah, technically it cools it a little bit, but really it's so powerful that whatever. It'd be a little better without it. But
I understand that you sort of see this as the horsepower of the individual, but there may actually be some properties that resist the cumulative effect of the drug also.
Yeah. There is. I'm sure there is. But it's obviously is. Look, I know plenty of intelligent people, not going to mention any more names other than Bill Maher, who like to take a toke now and again, and that's being conservative, who have not seemed to have lost a step from their game, okay? And I know many of these people, and they're adults, and they consume a lot of marijuana, and yet very sharp. Okay, they can do it because they're very intelligent people. They don't get the effects that you would have.
Right.
But here's what I'm saying. That ain't you. All you nut jobs from Bakersfield, you need every cell you got.
And I'm inclined to think that they probably really serious about it. Let's get Bill up here.
How much we can sue me for slander?
Slander. Just trying to speak the truth. Here we go. Kaylin.
Trying.
Six.
Yeah. Is it libel when you talk about it, slander when you write it, or which one? Kaylin?
Yeah.
What's happening?
Hi. First off, Dr. Drew, I loved your book, Cracked.
Oh, thanks, Kaylin.
Yeah, I've liked
Bill Maher smoked it, actually. Told me he liked it, but he had to smoke it. You're 17. What's up?
Yeah, I've recently found out both my parents smoke pot.
Mm-hmm.
And
great.
I don't really know how to handle it. Like, what I should do.
They smoking pot every day?
Yeah, pretty much.
What do you mean, how to handle it? What's happening?
Well, I don't know what to do. Like, I've talked to them about it, and, like, they say they're going to stop, but they don't.
Yeah, you can't change them, and you're not their parent. Mm-hmm. So what is it you're looking for? What's the feeling that you're looking for direction upon?
That they just, I don't want
them. They're not going to change.
Yeah, I don't want them to lie to me about it.
Well,
how'd you catch them?
I walked into my dad's when he was smoking.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, the only thing you can do, if you're interested, you can get things to help yourself. You can take care of yourself by going to Al-Anon or getting a therapist, that sort of thing, to learn to deal with parents who are addicted.
Yeah. How's your dad doing?
He's okay.
Does he have a job?
Yeah, he has a job. Like, they haven't been doing it their whole lives. They just recently started up again.
So they say.
Do they provide a good home for you?
Yeah, they do.
What's your dad do for a living?
He's in computers.
Oh, see? And he makes okay money, and your mom's good, and they, you know, do you have a decent house? Is there food in the refrigerator?
Yeah.
Are you going off to college in a year or so?
Yeah, I am.
Where are you going?
Probably the University of Arkansas.
Razorback.
Yeah. Here's the thing,
huge jumbotron at University of Arkansas, the biggest in the world.
Oh, really?
It's so big they had to shut it down because it interfered with air traffic. Wow. The radiation from it.
Wow.
It's huge.
Hey, Caitlin.
Yeah?
How do you know so much?
I spoke there.
All right. Well, quiet down.
Shut up.
Don't speak here. Just speak in Arkansas. That's our new rule. All right, here's the thing. Caitlin, you're not going to stop them. I agree with Drew. You sound depressed. I don't think it's just over this. Your parents are successful, or at least successful enough to provide a home and put food on the table and send you off to college one of these days. Focus on your friends. Focus on you not smoking pot. Focus on getting your grades up. Focus on going to school next year and all that good stuff. And don't sit home and sulk over your parents doing this. You're not going to get them to stop. And if they're being... Look, here's what I'm saying. I don't want to condemn the parents. If the dad goes to work... And he puts in a good day, and he comes home and tokes out a little reefer, and he puts food on the table, so be it.
But they're not the perfect humans you thought they were.
Right.
I know you idealize them. You do sound a little depressed. Again, therapist, Al-Anon, 12-step could help you. If nothing else, go away to college. Take advantage of the mental health services at the University of Arkansas when you get there.
Mm. Good times. And go backs. Razorbacks. Backpack. Backpacks. Lauren?
Yes, hi.
Hey. Detroit,
there should be a team called the Fanny Packs. Could there be a gayer name for like a football team?
Yes.
Really?
Lord Jeff's.
East Colorado fanny packs. Oh, yeah. Lord Jeff's. That was Drew's mascot.
Yeah.
Well, everybody, it's beautiful football season, and it's the Lord Jeff's.
Oh, you don't understand.
Versus the Eastern Illinois fanny packs. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's bad news. All right. Drew, what's up? Want to talk to Lauren?
Yeah.
All right. Let's, Lauren, 22.
Yes, I'm 22, and my boyfriend's 23. We have a six-month-old baby together.
Oh, boy. Mm-hmm.
And we live separately. He cheated on me with someone for a while he was in the Army. Mm-hmm. Broke up with me while I was pregnant. But I couldn't keep working while I was pregnant because of some health issues, so he invited me to go and live in his apartment until I could get back on my feet again.
While he was off doing his Army thing or live with him?
Live with him.
All right.
While he was broke, whoa. While he was broken up with you?
Yeah, while he was broken up with me. We've been really good friends for 6 years.
While you're pregnant with his child?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, so I didn't know that he had cheated on me with this girl yet until, the first night I moved in.
But you knew you were broken up.
Yeah, I knew we were broken up.
So how could it be cheating if you're broken up?
Because they did it before they broke up.
Before we broke up.
Well, that's why you broke up.
Duh.
Yeah, we broke up for that reason, but I didn't know until that first night.
This is why you don't get married in your early 20s. The kind of stuff that people.
What do you mean you broke up for that reason, but you didn't know?
He broke it off because
he found somebody else.
Yeah, and she didn't know that's why he broke it off.
All right, go ahead, Lauren.
Well, okay, so that first night that I was there, we had this big tearful reunion, and he wanted to get back together with me.
Oh, boy.
I found out about the woman and found out that she had planned to move several hundred miles to be near him. She had. He called her, told her what was up.
Oh, really? He had just a tell-all, tearful reunion where he told you about the other girl.
No, his friend ratted him out, and I can see
that now.
Now, coming into focus. Here we
go. All right, hold on a second. Yes.
Yeah, there we go.
Coming into a very...
We're like, what? He told you the truth in some sort of heartfelt...
Didn't sound like a 22-year-old Army jarhead.
No.
Turns out, buddy ran him out, trying to get in her pants.
Absolutely. Of course.
Right. All right. Hold on a second, Lauren. We got to take a break. We'll find out. Now, she's pregnant. She's with this guy. She busted him for cheating. Ratted out. We'll figure it all out. We're going to figure it out after this. Hey, everybody. What's really going on, huh, Drew?
I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you what it is. We're going to get it on.
What it is?
We're going to get it on.
All right, let's get it on.
I was in Pebble Beach this weekend and Shaft Marathon TNN. Watch that.
Oh, no. That's very funny.
And you realize that some of these movies, these iconic movies from the 70s, really horrible. Just crap, like everything that came out of the 70s. Not only bad writing and... bad scripts and all that good stuff, bad acting, bad everything, but just bad editing, bad sound. Horrible.
Yet somehow tonight...
And the song. I was just listening to the song and I go,
shut your mouth.
Yeah. John Shaft. No, it's like, he's a complicated man, but no one... Now, at the very beginning of the song, the guy goes, who's the private dick who's the sex machine to all the chicks? Shaft. Can you dig it? You know, and then 10 seconds later, he goes, he's a complicated man, but no one understands him but his woman. And it's like, well, wait a minute. Does no one understand him but his woman, or is he a sex machine to all the chicks? And I realized, he's both. He goes out and bangs everybody, and then he goes home, and his woman understands him.
Right.
And also understands she can't change a man. Fish got to swim.
He's a rambling man.
The black guys don't ramble.
That's right.
They just get people pregnant and leave. They get people pregnant and they go to Detroit or Chicago. But they don't ramble. White guys ramble. Not because we want to, we have to.
He's a Rolling Stone.
Yeah, Papa was a Rolling Stone.
Yeah.
Still almost a little whitey in there. Black guys move on. Oh, they boogie. They got a boogie.
But here's the deal.
Black guys got a boogie.
Yeah.
White guys have to ramble.
Boogie on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somehow tonight you've thrown me back into the emotions of the 70s.
Yeah, it makes you very sad.
Yeah. No. It's not sadness. It's dread. Dread. So it was a horrible decade. Any of you think that was a fun time?
But he's a sex machine to all the chicks, and no one understands it but his lady.
Whatever is wrong with our society now is a result of the 70s.
You want to get depressed, go watch a movie that's shot in New York in like 1972.
Yeah.
I'll show you depressed. Just a decaying city. Everything
yes.
decaying. Everything in
that's
decay.
That's when we were trying to get work.
Yeah. Think about no, that. No, I wasn't trying to get work.
Well, I was.
I was hoping my NAD would drop. but listen, here's the thing. This is the doom and gloom thing, because when you watch these, go watch one of these movies from the 70s, like, everything was decaying. They're yeah. falling apart. So people did the math. Well, they went, well, stuff's falling apart now, and it's 1974.
By 84.
Imagine year 2000. It's going to be a smoking rubble. Yeah. It's just going to be rubble.
Well, there was not even a sense that there, I mean, there was no future.
There won't be anything. Yeah. You'd be living underground. Won't be here.
Right, that's right.
Right. No, no one thought, well, hey, maybe if we get our ass together, we can just fix things up. We can actually rebuild stuff, make it nice.
No, it was all about things going to be worse the next that's generation, right. how are we going to deal that's with the right. shrinkage. And blah, blah, blah.
That's right, the man. Lauren?
Yes.
So anyway.
So, 22.
You're pregnant. Your boyfriend's had a reunion. He's called off the other chick. What's the deal? What's the question?
You moved okay, in. Are you living with him now? What's the deal?
No. Actually, I live with my dad, and he lives in his place still. And they stayed friends. And I got angry with
him.
Oh,
they meaning this person they had the relationship. He had
yeah,
the relationship
the,
with.
The girl yeah. that he had the relationship with.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they stayed friends. And I got mad with him. And we kind of had a breakup for about a week. And,
mad with him.
All right.
He slept with her. And now she's pregnant.
Oh, this guy's great.
This guy needs his
well,
nards
we got
hit with a fungo bat.
He did admit to the pregnancy with me. He told me what had happened. And
so what's the question? We got
and
the
and
picture.
By the way, look, you coming clean after doing something horrible and being pressed and caught dead to rights. I said, you know, people look at this as admirable. It's like,
yeah.
Well, what he did is he banged this other chick and he got her pregnant too, and he got me pregnant, and then I found out about it because one of his friends told him, but. He did. He was open. He was honest about
Look,
it. Once
I,
yeah, you caught him.
Yeah, the fact that people are open and honest should be matter of fact. The fact that people deny things they've actually done is really unbelievable. But okay, so he's honest.
Okay,
good. He gets a little credit
yeah,
for that.
He's honest when he gets caught.
Yeah, that's all right. All right. The scary thing is that people don't even expect people to be honest then. That's unbelievable. But okay.
All right.
So he gets a little brownie point for that. That does not relinquish him of the responsibility for bringing ass.
Well, he's a complicated man, but no one understands him but his lady.
What's
the question?
Polyamorous. My guy is a cheater. My question is, I'm kind of excited about this baby. We're back together now.
Your current baby.
Okay.
Your baby.
Yeah.
No, his new baby.
Well, with
I'm
the other girl.
About my baby, too. Yeah, the other girl's baby.
You're excited about it?
Well, it took me a couple weeks to come down. But I'm actually kind of excited about it, and everybody thinks that that's insane, but...
Well, hold on a second. Yeah?
You want what?
Well, you know, my son's going to have a little sister. I don't want to fight.
All right. You're very mature. We don't trust it. But what is she going to do? Who's going to raise the kid?
She's going to raise the kid.
This is primitive man. This is primitive man. This is the alpha male with his little harem.
Right.
Lauren wants to be a part of that.
She's going
to
raise the kid, and what are you going to do?
Raise my kid? I don't know how my relationship with him will progress, but
this is very primitive. Very primitive.
Well, I don't understand. I don't understand what you're excited about if you're
being part of a harem.
Boyfriend nailed somebody else and got them pregnant, and now she's going to see that kid through to full term. And what are you going to do? What's your role going to be?
Lead wife.
You'd be number one?
Number one wife.
I could do that.
See what I'm saying?
I'm fine.
Well, what is your plan? I mean, I understand. Why do you have to be a part of the new kid's life?
I guess I always grew up with step-parents.
No kidding.
Yeah, actually, the man that I'm living with now is not my father. He's my ex-stepfather who raised me.
Okay. Lauren, look, yeah. this is a what we call cluster F in the business.
Adam, let's stand back and be a little bit
you take care of your kid,
Here's the deal.
I don't trust this guy. I don't like this guy.
In ancient Egypt and, you know,
yeah, and parts of Utah.
And nomadic tribes in the Mesopotamian region at one time, these things work. So there's a primitive aspect of the human being that can tolerate this.
Lord.
Not what we call healthy.
It's a disaster. Look, stop. Yeah, I know you're keeping a stiff upper lip. I appreciate it. But the wheels are going to come off this wagon soon.
Because of him.
Here's what you need to do. I don't trust him. I don't like him. And he's not given me any cause to think anything else about it. You need to focus on the kid you have right now and try not to raise them in the same Cuisinart you got raised in.
Right.
And no more goddamn kids. Do you understand me?
I don't want any more children.
I know you don't want any,
Tube's
but that means you're only going to have seven.
Yeah.
No more.
Yeah. And the fact is, you can't tolerate intimacy. You need to have a capacity for intimacy from somebody who's actually available.
No more kids.
And not
don't
a rolling
screw
stone.
Up the one you have. And see if you can keep him out of jail before he turns 15.
Ugh.
And this guy, don't expect anything out of him. Please, no more sex with him.
Yes.
All right, we'll be back after this. Well, that's the show, everybody. Drew's going to drive his car off a cliff tonight.
Too much reliving my youth.
Sorry, buddy boy.
Yeah.
We're going to get it together tomorrow now. I'll tell you that much. I'll tell you what. We got John Hensley here tonight. Tomorrow night, I should say, from Nip Tuck. Very successful cable show, Drew.
Mm-hmm.
Very. We'll take ourselves a quick 22-hour break, and until next time, it's Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.